Wouldn't it be great if more of your fellow parishioners listened to Issues Etc.? Well, here's an easy way for you to publicize Issues Etc. at your church. Go to the support page of our website, issuesetc.org, and you'll find a short paragraph to include in your weekly church bulletin. Copy and paste the text for your church secretary or pastor to include each week in the Sunday bulletin. The bulletin blurb is updated weekly, issuesetc.org. Stay connected, issuesetc.org.
The president's position on the Defense of Marriage Act has been consistent. He has long opposed it as unnecessary and unfair. The attorney general recommended that the higher level of scrutiny be applied, and under that higher level of scrutiny, recommended that it be viewed as unconstitutional. The president reviewed that recommendation and concurred. The president's personal view on same-sex marriage, that is distinct from this legal decision. It is also important to note that the enforcement of the Defense of Marriage Act continues. The president is constitutionally bound to enforce the laws, and enforcement of the DOMA will continue.
That's Jay Carney, White House Press Secretary, speaking yesterday about the Obama administration's decision not to defend legally DOMA, the Defense of Marriage Act. Some are seeing this as the beginning of the end for DOMA, and perhaps as the beginning of the end for as a legal entity, traditional marriage is a singular legal entity in the United States. Is it really that dire? Of course, he says everybody knows where the president has stood on the Defense of Marriage Act. This is just a refusal to back it up if it's challenged. Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. live this Thursday afternoon, the 24th of February. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. Colleen Carol Campbell joins us for the first few minutes. We'll be talking about the Obama administration's decision not to defend DOMA. We'll also discuss briefly with her a disturbing view of Alzheimer's patients. Dr. Curtis Giese will join us after that. The church remembers the Apostle Matthias on this Thursday afternoon, February the 24th. We'll do so as well. Then we'll talk religion and politics with Dr. Robert Benny. Our call-in number, 1-877-623-6943. Our in-studio email address, talkback@issuesetc.org, or you can send us a tweet at @issuesetc. Colleen Carol Campbell is host of a television and radio program called Faith and Culture. She's author of the book The New Faithful, and she writes a weekly column for the St. Louis Post-Dispatch. Colleen, welcome back.
Thanks for having me.
Colleen, I'd like your reaction to the Obama administration's decision to not defend legally DOMA, the Defense of Marriage Act.
Well, I think it's a really dangerous precedent and really just disturbing on a lot of levels, certainly for those of us who support traditional man-woman marriage as it's been defined for 5,000 years. This is a big problem, and I think it's not all that surprising. President Obama has kind of lamely defended marriage in the past. He's been giving hints in the last couple of years that defense is sort of crumbling. I'm not sure it was ever very strong in the first place, saying that he's not quite sure anymore where he stands on same-sex marriage, or he's against it but not quite sure if he will be for much longer. In other words, I think he's waiting for the poll numbers to move up a little in that direction, and then he'll probably come out and declare his support for same-sex marriage. But what's at stake here is sort of a different issue in that he's really abdicating his responsibility as defined by our founding fathers as part of the executive branch. His job is to take care that the laws shall faithfully be executed. That is the Constitution's command for a president. And that's why presidents of both parties frequently defend federal laws in court, have always really defended federal laws in court, even when they often don't agree with the specific laws, because that's their role in our three branches of government. That's the executive branch's role. So for a president to sort of unilaterally declare that he no longer considers a federal law constitutional, even though various courts have found it constitutional, but he personally doesn't think it is, so he's just not going to defend it, it's a dangerous precedent. It's a real problem. I think it indicates how very shallow his support for traditional marriage is or ever was. But as even many same-sex marriage supporters have begun to argue, or at least a few have come out and argued, this is a problem for people on both sides of the issues because it sets up a really dangerous precedent. The next president may be a conservative who decides he doesn't agree with XYZ liberal law that was passed by Democrats before him, and then he won't defend those laws. So we've got a really chaotic situation brewing here. And again, I think it's very arrogant for a president to decide what is constitutional rather than allowing the courts to decide.
So what are your thoughts on what Democratic staffer and lobbyist Steve Elmendorf had to say? He, and I quote, "Anybody under the age of 40 doesn't care or actively supports same-sex marriage. No one has lost an election in the last 10 years over gay marriage questions," end quote.
Well, I don't think that's true. Actually, this issue loomed very large in the 2004 election, George W. Bush versus John Kerry, and it loomed extremely large. Voters were stampeding to the ballot box on this question. There were many states that had the state referenda on marriage's definition up the same year that George W. Bush was running. And it was because of that wide turnout, often from evangelicals and more conservative Catholics, that many people believe that that's the reason that George W. Bush won a second term. It was not, as some thought, because he had this or that idea on various other issues. It was really the social issues, at least according to the exit polls, that drove that election. So that's not true that someone hasn't lost. Now, John Kerry didn't, come out embracing same-sex marriage, but it was pretty clear to anyone who was paying attention this was not an issue that was important to him. Now, I do think it's true that when you look at the polls, Americans still overwhelmingly favor traditional marriage, but when you look at the breakdown, it certainly is younger Americans who are more supportive of same-sex marriage. It's not true that nobody supports traditional marriage in that cohort. That's absolutely untrue. But it is true that they're leaning that direction, and I think that's a real challenge for those of us defending man-woman marriage, as it's been defined for 5,000 years, to make the case to younger adults who, frankly, are growing up in a culture where they don't understand marriage much at all because they're not seeing a very good witness, unfortunately, of marriage, sometimes in their own backyards, in their own homes, and they're definitely not seeing it in the movies and television that Hollywood's churning out. So, there is a challenge there, although there's also an argument to be made that, like a lot of issues, the marriage issue is one where, as voters mature and they move into their own marriages and start understanding the importance of marriage and the importance of keeping men and women together for the sake of keeping their children connected to their biological parents, all of that begins to make a little more sense when you're actually in those shoes as you mature. So it's by no means guaranteed that today's college students who sort of buy into the, everybody ought to get married slogan, that same student 10 years hence is going to feel the same way, that they are not, in fact, going to look a little closer at this issue and experience in their own lives some of the reasons why it's important for the state to make a unique place for man-woman marriage.
Finally, Colleen, you write in today's St. Louis Post-Dispatch about a disturbing view of Alzheimer's patients. What are your concerns?
Well, it's something I've been noticing ever since my father was diagnosed with the disease about 15 years ago now. He died in 2008, but he lived with the disease 12 years after his diagnosis. And I frequently saw people, even well-meaning people, dismissing him in his current state, which was, of course, more forgetful, confused, and ultimately quite a bit more debilitated than his original state, as, that's not really Tom. That's not the man who we once knew. And in a sense, letting themselves off the hook for not visiting or for not talking directly to him. Unfortunately, in the case of the nursing home where he was, often aides feeling they didn't need to address him directly or kind of minister to him as a human being because that wasn't the real man. That was really an imposter. That was the Alzheimer's patient. And all of this came to me again when I was reading the controversy over Ronald Reagan's Alzheimer's disease, and there was a claim made when Ron Reagan Jr.'s book came out last month that he thought his dad might have started showing signs of dementia in the Oval Office. This is a provocative claim. It's pretty speculative. Most of Reagan's doctors and close associates have refuted it. So I think it's certainly valid to say that the balance of evidence is against this speculative claim that Ron Reagan made. But what worried me is the way I saw in the media coverage of this controversy, so many pundits, expressing that same view that, there was kind of the Ronald Reagan who did all of these wonderful, or depending on your point of view, maybe not so wonderful, but certainly in the eyes of conservatives, wonderful things as a governor, as a president, as a conservative leader. And then he got Alzheimer's, and then he just disappeared. And then we saw in 2004, when he died, a lot of the commentary was saying that, basically the Reagan we knew died 10 years ago. This other guy that was hanging around with dementia for 10 years, losing him isn't really a cause for mourning. In fact, one columnist actually said that we ought to have a day of celebration when he died rather than a day of mourning because Alzheimer's had already, killed off his self, his spirit, his dignity. And I think the problem here is we get into the same issue we're always dealing with when it comes to defending the sanctity of human life, whether it's from the cradle or to the grave, and that is that the human person, as long as the human person is living, breathing among us, that person deserves full respect, and the soul is present, the spirit is present, the self, and indeed human dignity is present simply because that is a human person made in the image of God. And I think we're in very dangerous territory when we kind of rule out whole chunks of people, including the demented and the most severely demented, and say, well, they're not really with us anymore. They're already gone. No, they're with us. And Reagan was with us 10 years after he released that heartbreaking letter in 1994 saying he was going off into the sunset of his life. The sunset lasted 10 years. And if you ask Nancy Reagan or his daughter Patty Davis, they will tell stories where they saw great suffering, but also glimmers of the man they always knew. He was there right to the end. And as Christians, that's a principle we really need to defend.
Colleen Carol Campbell is host of a television and radio program called Faith and Culture. She's author of the book The New Faithful, and she writes a weekly column for the St. Louis Post-Dispatch. You can read her columns at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Colleen, thank you.
Thanks for having me, Todd.
Well, when we come back, we'll be talking about the Apostle Matthias, a latecomer to the apostolic band, and yet one of the 12, 12 being a very significant number. It's Thursday afternoon, February the 24th. Dr. Curtis Giese of Concordia University, Texas, will be our guest. Do all people share a common morality? Is natural law an errant teaching of the Roman Catholic Church? The Issues Etc. book of the month for February is titled Natural Law, a Lutheran Reappraisal. You can read an excerpt at issuesetc.org, or you can purchase Natural Law by calling Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040. Natural Law, the Issues Etc. book of the month for February.
Hi, this is Kate in Japan. And I'm commenting on the program you had about the Unification Church.
Thanks to God's gift of the Internet, people are listening to Issues Etc. around the world.
The most important point is to say I love your show and thank you for doing what you do. Bye from Japan.
Old theology, new technology, Issues Etc. worldwide. Listen to what you want, when you want, wherever you are. Issues Etc. issuesetc.org.
Where Christianity meets culture. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Thanks for sending us your email. Having produced Issues Etc. for more than 15 years, I can tell you that we've never received email response like this. Unfortunately, we simply can't reply to all of your email. So here's a way that I can almost guarantee a response to your question or comment. Call the Issues Etc. comment line, 618-223-8384. It's available for your questions or comments 24/7, 618-223-8384.
Have you heard of the CLCC? In Hosea 4, we see, "My people are destroyed by lack of knowledge." The Confessional Lutherans for Christ Commission can help educate Lutherans on being Lutheran. We treasure our Lutheran beliefs and think that all Lutherans would if they learn what we believe, teach, and confess. So visit our website, www.theclcc.org. Check out what we have to offer. Get on our mailing list, or better yet, join us. And maybe encourage your pastor to hold a seminar in your area. Just go to theclcc.org.